Found, Discovery and Recovery. Brian Sargent, Series Editor, Bob Hastings. Chapter 1, Found and Lost. Workers find a 60-year-old unopened love letter. When they return it, will the couple still be in love? In 1952, Dick Houck and his girlfriend Arlene wrote many love letters to each other. Dick was far away, serving in the U.S. Army, and Arlene was home in Minnesota. They wrote every day. Then Dick wrote the most important letter of them all. He sent it on March 31st, 1952. Arlene didn't get it until 60 years later. In the letter, Dick asked Arlene to marry him. Workers found the letter in 2012. They were fixing the home where Arlene grew up when they discovered the unopened letter hidden underneath a part of the floor. Instead of throwing the old letter away, they used the name and address on the envelope to find Arlene and deliver it to her. The good news is Dick and Arlene had gotten married anyway. They are still married today. There are many different things you can find. Like the workers in this story, you can find something that was lost. You can find your keys or your cell phone hidden under the seat on your car. You can also find things that were not lost, but haven't been discovered yet. You can find a new species of fish living deep under the water. You can find the cure for an illness or a new medicine to help people feel better. You can find out something. To find something out means to discover or learn new knowledge. For example, you can find out that you like swimming after years of being afraid of the water. You can also find the time or find the energy to do something you have always wanted to do. What else can you find? Read this book and find out. Chapter 2. Aha! In 2006, almost 17,000 new animals and plants were found. That's almost 50 a day. There is something very unusual living deep in the high mountains of Myanmar, the country formerly called Burma. It is a monkey that sneezes when it rains. The monkey has almost no nose, and when water runs down its face, it sneezes it away. Have you heard of it? Probably not. Nobody had heard of it before 2010. That's when the monkey was found for the first time. Every year, an amazing number of new plant and animal species are found. Modern ways of collecting and identifying living things allow scientists to find more new species than ever before. Some say we are in a golden age of discovery. To show this, scientists at the University of Arizona counted the number of new plants and animals found only in 2006. The number? 16,969. About half of the new animals found in 2006 were insects. In addition, researchers counted 2,000 new plants. Mammals were less common. They made up about 1% of the new species. One reason for the high number of new species is transportation. Modern transportation allows researchers to travel to new areas that have been difficult to visit and search in the past. The sneezing monkey is an example of a new species found because researchers were able to go deeper into forests and higher into mountains than ever before. Another reason for the high number of newly discovered species is genetics. Genetic testing tells us more than other methods of identification. For example, scientists use genetic testing on a common type of butterfly called the skipper butterfly. They learned that this butterfly was actually made up of 10 different species of butterfly. From the outside, the butterflies all looked identical, or exactly the same. But the genes showed differences. Testing showed that each different species had its own characteristics and history. In a similar study, a group of scientists tested a collection of 730 known birds and bats. To their surprise, they discovered 21 new species in the collection. Each new species looked the same as a known species. The differences only appeared when they studied the genes of the animals. New species aren't the only things you can find with genetic testing. In 2008, a New York City high school became partners with the American Museum of Natural History to help students learn more about the city by using genetic testing. That year, two students collected fish from markets around New York City. When they tested each fish, they found that one quarter of the fish sold in the markets was labeled incorrectly. In most cases, a cheaper fish was given the label or name and price of a more expensive fish. The two students also found that some markets sold endangered fish labeled as other fish. A year later, two more high school students used genetic testing to find out what animals they could find in and around their New York City apartments. They collected over 200 animals from their apartments and neighborhoods. From the collection, they identified 95 species, including a new kind of cockroach never identified before. Chapter 3. Unearthed. Chinese farmers find a 2,000-year-old army waiting under the ground. For 2,000 years, a huge army waited east of Xi'an in China. It had thousands of soldiers. Some were sitting around or cooking on small fires. Others were taking care of farm animals or horses dressed for war. Most of the soldiers, however, were standing straight and holding weapons. There were rows and rows of them standing and waiting, ready to fight. But they were all below the ground. In 1974, their long wait ended. A group of farmers were digging a deep well to get water when they found pieces of the army. The army was made of terracotta, a kind of clay or soft earth. It had been built for Ying Cheng, the first emperor of China. As a child, Ying Cheng became king of Qin, a state of modern-day China. He took the name Qin Shi Huangdi. At the time, Qin was at war with the six other states of China. Qin Shi Huangdi's armies brought the states together to form the nation of China. To protect him after death, Qin Shi Huangdi had a new army of 8,000 terracotta warriors made. The figures were life-sized and very realistic. They were also secret. Some people say the emperor killed anyone who worked on the terracotta soldiers or knew the location of the underground army. It took 2,000 years, but the army was found. Some of the warriors, like the ones found by the farmers, were broken, but many were still whole. Now the soldiers themselves lived the life of emperors. Some travel the world, from museum to museum. The rest stay in China. They live in a giant museum, still standing in great long lines. People around the world know about Qin's terracotta warriors. Treasures from past civilizations aren't the only valuable things buried under the earth. For thousands of years, people have worked hard to dig coal and minerals out of the ground. This is called mining. Gold mines can be found in 25 countries around the world. Gold is also one of the oldest minerals mined from the earth. Around 6,000 years ago, the ancient Egyptians mined for gold in the area now known as Nubia. Gold from this region was used to create some of the ancient world's most beautiful works of art. The oldest mine in the world is far older than the gold mines of Nubia. Somewhere between 40,000 and 80,000 years ago, early people mined a mineral called specularite in the Lion Cavern in Swaziland, Africa. Specularite is a silver and blue rock that shines in the light. Researchers believe the people living there used the specularite as makeup. Today, there are two main types of mines: underground mines and surface mines. Underground mines are usually tunnels dug deep into the ground. Working in these tunnels can be very dangerous. Deep underground, the air can sometimes be very unhealthy, and miners can be hurt, trapped, or killed when tunnels collapse. Surface mining is less dangerous to miners, but not to the earth. Surface mines dig away the plants and other life on top of the ground so miners can reach the minerals below. Surface mines can be very, very large. In some cases, whole mountains are dug up to get the valuable minerals underneath. Chapter 4. Looking for loot. It is easy to lose things in the ocean. Finding them again is far more difficult. In 1554, four ships set out from Mexico to Spain. They were led by Captain Antonio Corso and were full of treasure. For over 60 years, Spanish conquistadors had taken incredible amounts of gold and silver from the many people and rich gold mines of North and South America. Captain Corso's ships were filled with such loot, including about 1 million gold coins. Some say his ships were the richest treasure ships to ever travel over the sea. Less than 3 weeks later, three of the four ships were lost in a storm off the coast of Texas. Many people were killed, and the treasure sank to the bottom of the sea. Stories like this are common. In fact, there are so many stories of lost treasure in the sea, you might think the whole seafloor is covered in shining gold. However, the sea is an amazingly big place, and finding anything there is a rare and lucky event. That doesn't stop people from trying, though. Salvage companies are groups that travel around the world and look for lost ocean treasure. Often they use sonar to look for sunken ships on the seafloor. Then they send divers down to explore the area. Some companies even use machines to explore the area first. Most of the time, salvage trips return with nothing. Other times, the things they find are not very valuable. However, in some trips, salvage companies find something truly amazing. One lucky find happened in 2007, when a salvage company found something unusual near Gibraltar, Spain. $500 million worth of silver and gold coins. It was an unbelievable find. There was one problem, though. No one could tell from what ship the coins had come. There were very few pieces of the ship left, and none of the pieces were big enough to help identify it. This was important, because the name of the ship would decide what happened to the treasure. International law says if a salvaged ship is a private ship, then the salvage company can keep anything it finds. However, if the ship is a government ship, then the ship and everything inside it still belongs to that government. It was very important to find out what ship these coins had come from. Spain said the ship was the Nuestra Señora de las Mercedes, a government ship which left Peru for Spain in 1804. International courts agreed and ordered the salvage company to give the coins to the Spanish government. The salvage company disagreed, but there was little they could do. They had found one of the most valuable treasures under the sea, but they could not keep it. Although most ocean treasures sink, that doesn't mean you can't find interesting things on the ocean surface. In 2012, a New Zealand ship found something very strange on the surface of the ocean. There were millions of rocks floating on the water, like a huge shelf covering 26,000 square kilometers. That's as big as the country of Haiti. The rocks were a volcanic stone called pumice, which is lighter than water. Chapter 5, Eye in the Sky. Do you have a computer? If you do, you can take part in one of the biggest searches in history. As long as people have looked to the stars, they've wondered if there was life up there. An organization called Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI, aims to answer that question. SETI uses modern technology to search the skies for some sign of extraterrestrial life, or life on other planets. One way they do this is by listening for radio signals from other planets. SETI uses a large number of radio telescopes to collect information from space. Then, using computers, they look through the information for signals. So far, SETI has found no signs of extraterrestrial life. However, they have searched only a small number of available radio waves. To make the search go faster, SETI invited ordinary people around the world to help them. They invented SETI at Home, a computer program that uses home computers to search through collected information. When SETI invented the program, they hoped to have between 50,000 and 100,000 owners of home computers help them. By 2011, over a million computers from more than 200 countries had joined in the search. William Herschel did not have the help of a million computers when he searched the sky. He didn't even have one. What he had instead was his sister, Caroline. Together, before his death in 1822, they had found and mapped more than 90,000 stars. Herschel, a British astronomer born in Germany in 1738, spent hours in his workshop building mirrors for his telescope. Herschel wanted to find stars that appeared close together. Herschel hoped measuring the distance between these stars would show how fast the stars were moving. However, over time, he noticed some groups of stars that were not behaving as he expected. Herschel had discovered double stars. These were stars, he learned, that were caught in each other's gravity. Because of this, they turned or orbited around each other. In total, Herschel discovered over 800 double or multiple star systems. While searching for these star systems, Herschel made another important discovery. Uranus, the seventh planet from our sun. Uranus is made mostly of gas, but can you imagine a planet made from diamonds? Astronomers in 2011 may have discovered one. The planet moves extremely fast, orbiting its star every 2 hours, and astronomers believe that it used to be part of a double star. When two stars are close together, like double stars, something interesting can take place. Astronomers call it mass transfer, and it happens when one star pulls away the mass of the second star. In the case of the Diamond Planet, which goes by the less interesting name of PSR J1719-1438, the second star pulled away much of the original star's mass, leaving behind a large amount of carbon. Astronomers believe gravity and heat caused the carbon to form a diamond. Chapter 6. What do you think? Read the following two stories. One is true. Can you tell which? 1. At a market in Pennsylvania, USA, a man bought a painting for $4. The painting was not very good and had a large hole in it, but the man didn't mind. He bought it because he liked the frame around the painting. When he got home, he pulled off the old painting and found a small, folded piece of paper hidden behind the frame. The paper was an original copy of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. It was printed on July 4, 1776, the date of America's independence from Britain. Only 23 copies were known to exist. This one made 24. A year later, the man sold the copy for just over $2.4 million. 2. Jeff Bittleman was helping a family clean out an old house. Nobody had lived in the house for 20 years. The family had asked Bittleman to help look through it for anything valuable. Upstairs, Bittleman found a small hole in a wall. He asked the family about it. A woman who had lived in the house as a girl told him an old family rumor. The woman said that when she was a kid, there were always rumors that that's where they threw money, Bittleman later said. When he went downstairs, he found out the rumor was true. On the bottom floor, Bittleman found $100,000 worth of old, valuable coins inside the wall below the hole.